I drove over to the Sonic Drive-In, ordered a jalapeno burger, a chicken fried steak sandwich, a chili cheese dog with extra onions, french fries, tater tots, washed it down with one beer, two beers, three beers, a shot of whiskey, a margarita, and a Bloody Mary. I got nervous. My skin broke out in hives. I mentioned inside. My liver's all twisted up. But you know what I did? I took Deborah, went to the liquor store. I loaded up with alcohol, more specifically vodka, whiskey, beer, tequila, more beer, more vodka, more whiskey, and more beer.
Hour two of Overtime coming at you live here from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Hey, you're out there not doing a Valentine's Day thing tonight. We are glad to keep you company. We'll be your Valentine for another hour. I'll send you some of those nice little paper Valentines that you handed out to all your classmates back in the day. I'll give you some nice candy. Give you some of the I don't know, what's a go-to candy? Hershey's Kisses, right?
Sure.
For Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're listening out there and I don't know, you ain't buying you a whole thing of chocolates. I don't love you that much, but I do care for you, though. I will appreciate you somehow.
Yeah, I got a little paper Valentine's for my drive companions. They didn't appreciate them, though. They were cats. Aww. They had cats on them and dogs. And then I gave them little chocolate hearts. Spent a lot of time and effort on those at the dollar store.
And they spat in your face.
Yeah.
Rejected you. What a bunch of cold
bastards.
They ate
the chocolate and they just threw the Valentine's away. Like
you're a cold
nothing.
Bastard, Russell Smith, Bear, Hayden, Trey.
Trey gave his chocolate away to somebody.
You're especially a bastard, Trey Wallace.
Hope jerks.
Hope you're proud of yourself making John feel like this. He's
okay.
Literally crying over here. You can't tell right now, but he is literally sobbing. It's okay, John. He'll be okay. I got you, buddy.
Thanks, man.
I got you. You know what else we have here? XFL Week 2!
Yes.
Oh, I'm so pumped.
Yes.
I'm so pumped. Man, yes. I am I'm going to be completely
with
candid
you.
With you here, John.
With everything you're
saying, I watched you. Week 1 last weekend, and I just,
yeah.
I just kept waiting for it just to absolutely suck. I was afraid it was going to just be terrible. But you know what? Oh, the XFL delivered in Week 1. The new XFL delivered and then some.
Mm-hmm.
Were all of the games tight and competitive? No. Some of these teams suck, which is especially why I'm not going to watch that Tampa Bay-Seattle game tomorrow night.
Oh, my gosh. No way.
What a matchup for Week 2, like the two worst teams in the league. No thanks. Hard pass.
I mean, you got NBA All-Star Saturday night to watch instead.
Yeah, that too. I will tune in to the Guardians versus the Defenders, New York versus DC.
My New York Guardians.
John Tyler's New York Guardians.
Every John here at the station is a New York Guardian fan.
Interesting.
Isn't it?
That's very interesting.
We're big Matt McGloin fans, I guess.
I guess so. Hey, I like both those teams. Cardale Jones for DC is pretty fun.
Yeah.
I like watching him play football again. So you had that for your 2 o'clock game on ABC tomorrow. Again, if you want to watch Tampa Bay Seattle, be my guest. Those are that's going to be bad. It's going to be really bad. Yeah, you got Aaron Murray.
He's not playing.
Oh, he's not?
He's hurt.
Oh, he.
Of course he is.
That's that's not a shocker. Who's their backup?
I didn't know the name. I had no idea who it was.
That's the thing. There are some people I've never heard of in some of these teams. But, hey, that's fun. You get to know some new stars. Hopefully, what my hope is for some of like these guys who've not really gotten a shot in the NFL, ball out for a season or two, man. Get you a nice NFL contract. That's what I hope for some of these people.
I read yesterday that the XFL has a rule that the player has to finish the entire season before they can go to the NFL.
That's fair.
Yeah, that seems fair.
I think that – I mean – I mean, why would that not be fair? The season is from February to April.
Mm-hmm.
What's that cut into the NFL? Just some like, isn't that only like voluntary workouts in April? Or is that even time for voluntaries yet? OTAs and crap like that. I don't know how the NFL sets up their schedule. I'm used to college football doing the whole period of spring practice. You have an off season where you know all that the players are doing are just working out and working individually, and then August rolls around, fall camp. That's what I'm used to. NFL starts everything in the summer. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't think that season commitment is a big issue when the XFL plays its season when it does. If it was later in the summer, yeah, it'd be an issue. But I don't see this being a big type of issue here. So again, your Saturday games, 2 o'clock ABC, New York at DC. I think that one should be fantastic.
It'll be good.
5 o'clock on Fox. It's Tampa Bay at Seattle. Watch that at your own risk. I mean, who knows? I mean, this is going to be at Seattle. Seattle fans of all sports are pretty rowdy.
They're playing it in the Seahawks stadium.
Sure, maybe the fans will show out. Maybe that'll be a good environment as you can for an early season XFL game. Sunday though, Sunday's got some good matchups. You have Dallas at Los Angeles. Both those teams are 0-1. Dallas is a lot better than you think, though. My Battlehawks did upset them. Dallas was also without Landry Jones. He will be getting the start on Sunday.
He's on my fantasy team.
I mean, that was the first ever XFL player in this new league, Landry Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to see him and Hal Mummy's offense throwing it 50 times a game. That'd be something. So they're going to face the Wildcats. And then 6 o'clock Sunday. Oh, so your Sunday games are 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock, not 2 and 5. 3 o'clock is your Dallas at Los Angeles, ABC. 6 o'clock, FS1. My St. Louis Battlehawks at the Houston Renegades. So the Battlehawks trying to go back-to-back weeks of going to Texas and knocking off a team that was seen as one of the best teams in the new XFL. A lot of people love the Renegades. A lot of people think the Roughnecks are a really solid squad. So the upstart Battlehawks got a chance to start 2-0.
Who's the Battlehawks quarterback? Is it the...
That's Tamu.
Tamu?
John Tamu from Ole Miss.
I don't remember him being so awesome at Ole Miss, though.
That's because his team sucked.
Okay.
He was really good. He ran the ball a whole lot more at Ole Miss. When he was really good, the scrambling, getting some good plays. Tommy was great. I can look up his stats at Ole Miss, but I remember when I saw that he was going to be the Battlehawks quarterback, I was kind of shocked that he wouldn't
Was he there under Freeze?
Did he transfer? I'll figure it out here.
Okay. Yeah, you're fine.
He transferred over, so from Hawaii, by the way. Pearl City High School. Let's see, your college career. So he was a JUCO transfer. Transferred to Ole Miss before 2017. No. He probably was recruited by Hugh Freeze, but by the time he got there, Hugh was gone. So he was Matt Luke's quarterback.
Okay.
I need the college stats here. I'm about to get them here in a second. But while I get those stats, John Tyler, Week 2 XFL, what are you most looking forward to seeing, whether it be a game aspect or just another week of some of these new features that they have implemented?
I'm excited to see another week where hopefully the football will be better. I'm not worried about quarterback, wide receiver, running back. I was always worried about the offensive line. If the offensive line doesn't give you time, then it's going to be crappy football.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm anxious to see how the teams look this week. I'm also anxious to see Monday when the ratings come out. I hope that it stays at least the same as the first week. That was when the AAF really went down, was from week 1 to week 2. I worry the fact that it's NBA All-Star weekend, that's going to cut into some of it.
It'll cut into the evening games.
Yeah. And if it wasn't for the Kobe stuff this year, I think the XFL might get better ratings than the All-Star game. Saturday night will definitely beat out NBA. Saturday night will definitely beat out the XFL. Sunday, you got the early game before the All-Star game. So maybe, I don't know, but I'm excited to see some more hits. There wasn't as many big hits as I was expecting last week. I love the new rules. I love the kickoffs. I love that you don't have to worry like, oh, that guy got hit. Is there going to be a flag? You don't have to worry about that.
Mm-mm.
I love it. I love the interviews immediately after touchdowns, the sidelines.
Those are so risky, though.
I love it.
Because you already had the dude drop the F-bomb in the very first game.
That's what you expect. I love the stadiums.
It was so funny.
Other than New York and Seattle, I love the stadiums. They're so like, You got most of them are playing in soccer stadiums or baseball stadiums that are converted. Like, it's just neat to see.
It helps when you're not going to have like a full house. You're just not yet. So it helps if you play in smaller stadiums.
Yeah. I like it. I like the commentators. I think that's a big key to their success is the people they've got commentating.
Having Pat McAfee
on the cruise.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah. But they've got legit commentators doing this stuff. So I'm just excited that there's still football, you know. I'm excited that there's still football football.
I'm glad it's mid-February and we're discussing an upcoming football weekend. That's something that makes me very happy here. I have Tomu's stats. So two seasons at Ole Miss, 2017 and 2018 here. So he played a full season in 2018, only 7 games in 2017. Let me give you his full season stats for 2018. So passing, 3,918 yards, 19 touchdowns, 8 picks, 63.6% completion percentage. Rushing, 342 yards rushing. Not as much as I thought he had.
It's a different offense.
Only 2.9 yards per carry. He did have 6 rushing touchdowns. So, yeah, Tomlin was good. He had the talent. I'm kind of stunned he didn't get more of an NFL shot, but that's the other cool thing about this XFL is the fact that, hey, you ball out there, you're going to get a contract offer.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. So best of luck to those guys moving forward.
I hope
here.
In the future that that's something that the NFL embraces instead of looks at as a competitor. So that, because, I mean, it can feed them.
Yeah.
Gives them the chance to look at players without having to pay anything.
I don't think the NFL will have any reason to worry about them because of just when they play. Like, NFL shouldn't worry about any other league, man. You know how much money they have. You know how much influence they have. They would have no reason to worry about anyone. But, yeah, they should welcome it with open arms as a type of minor league system.
Mm-hmm.
Or as at least a type of more like the G League, I guess, because you can have people bounce in between, like, the two leagues.
Do you think that what's going to happen when an NFL player – they're going to have to redo NFL contracts now because an NFL player could say, all right, I'm going to play NFL, and then when my season's over, I'm going to go play XFL.
When's the next CBA you do? That's the question.
So are they going
to – that have to be a big issue when the next CBA comes up.
And maybe NFL players – maybe they won't – I mean, I know they're not going to make anything close to what they make in the XFL, the chance for injuries, all that stuff. But, I mean, there may be someone who wants to do that one day. Like Antonio Brown, that might be a way for him to get back to the NFL.
XFL already says they kind of don't want him, though.
He's trying to change his image.
Maybe if he continues this Apollo GPR tour, maybe they might be open again.
As long as he doesn't hire the Astros PR guy, he'll be good.
I'm wondering more about people coming from college straight to the XFL type of deal.
That's how the AFL, is that what it was before?
Mm-hmm.
That's how, I mean, they got Herschel Walker. They got...
Oh, you're talking USFL.
USFL, yeah. They got guys to come straight out of college to them, and that's how they really got going. And then the NFL realized, oh, crap. And then they, you know,
see, USFL's bad move is the fact that didn't they compete in the fall?
They did, yeah. That's where the XFL this time, last time it was in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
This time it's in the spring. Perfect.
Very perfect time for it. I'm going to leave this first segment here, switching over to basketball. So, you have official finalists for this upcoming 2020 class of the Basketball Hall of Fame. They were announced today. The official class of 2020 will be announced April the 4th during the NCAA Final Four in Atlanta. So let's see here. I'm trying to get all the list here. Some of these are not surprising here and just bad with the timing and everything. Kobe Bryant announced as a finalist. He's in.
Wait, for college basketball Hall of Fame?
Basketball Hall of Fame is like pro college everything.
Okay, I was he didn't go to college.
Yeah, that's the thing about the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's
okay, gotcha. Yeah. No problem, gotcha.
So Kobe, of course, headlines along with Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett, officially finalist. No debate, all those are going to be in the class.
Yeah, and they're going to retire KG's jersey in Boston next year.
Yep, saw that.
How do you feel about that?
Night? Deserved.
You think so?
Yeah.
He only played a few years there.
Yeah, well, I mean, his impact, though. I always measure the impact when it comes to, like, an individual organization deciding to retire a jersey. Like, in the near future, Well, I say near future. We're like 10 years from now. If the Raptors decide to want, they wanted to retire Kawhi Leonard's jersey, I'd be for it.
No way. They won't do that.
Raptors fans want retired, man. I'm serious. Like, it might have been one season, but you think about the context of that Raptors organization, how, like, that, all they've been known for recently in the playoffs is just choking all the time. Kawhi goes there one season as a mercenary, and they knock off one of the best dynasties we've seen in recent memory in the Warriors.
It's true. Vince Carter, though.
Raptors want his jersey retired.
Vince Carter did more for that organization than Kawhi.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
Has he said where he wants his jersey retired at? What team? He's played for, like, 50. I would assume Raptors, I bet, though.
Raptors makes sense. He's played for half the damn teams in the NBA, though. That's the thing. Who else is going to be in this finalist here? Okay, so they are joined as finalists, Kevin Garnett, Kobe Bryant, and Tim Duncan, by this was in the news recently here. Good thing I remembered to mention it. Lady Vol for Life, Tamika Catchings, is a finalist. 10-time WNBA All-Star, national champion, multi-time All-American in college. Fantastic. You also have Coach Kim Mulkey of Baylor. You have 5-time Division II Coach of the Year Barbara Stevens of Bentley University. 4-time NCAA Coach of the Year Eddie Sutton. And former Houston Rockets coach Rudy Tomjanovich, whatever. Won the two titles in the 90s with the team.
Yeah. Well, and he coached the Olympic team as well.
He did.
I think he did the dream team, the first one.
He did. Good little class of finalists there. Hope Tamika gets in here as well.
She also has the most gold medals for Lady Vol.
Hell yeah. Really? Over Shamiqua?
Yep.
Tamika has been playing for a while.
She played for a really long time. And she's a great commentator.
That's also true. Shout out to Tamika, man. Hit this first break here of hour two. 865-546-8200 to get on the lines here. Rolling along on your Friday edition of Overtime. Be back after this break. It's me. I don't need no help. Just want to rock you, girl. You can... It is the power of love. It's the power of overtime on your Valentine's Day. We're brought to you by KC Kitchen Center in historic Bearden, 5902 Kingston Pike. Stop by that showroom 8 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 2 on Saturday. You can browse some of the inventory. Browse the retail items as well. They got a lot of nice little goodies that you can take home. Use as gifts as well over at KC Kitchen Center. Go say hi to Kelly and the crew over there. Tell them that Fan Run Radio sent you. If you are in the market for updating the look of your kitchen, bathroom, any other type of surface in your house, KC Kitchen Center is going to be your destination. They'll find the surface that is perfect for you. Granite, quartz, marble, and more. And also, go to kckitchencenter.com, browse their inventory, find out everything you need to know about what they do, including the new creative classroom they have on site. You can learn how to make new recipes, learn about new kitchen appliances, things like that. And also, you can learn about how to rent out some space in the event center. If you need to have some space for any work, family type of event, they got you covered over at KC Kitchen Center. 9,000 kitchen and bath makeovers and counting. So, to talk, John Tyler, to talk soccer here.
Yes, let's do it.
I do have to mention this. So, you're more of the soccer guy, correct?
I am a soccer guy.
Okay.
I am a Premier League
I think you
aficionado.
May have more of like a coherent take on this than I would. But I do have to mention this because this is one hell of a punishment right here.
Yeah.
Out in the Premier League, the Manchester City Football Club. They right now have announced they will appeal UEFA's decision. That decision, you might ask? Well, UEFA decided to ban the club. Yes, they decided to ban Manchester City for 2 seasons from European competition, which includes the all-important Champions League, after the governing body of UEFA found them guilty of breaching financial fair play rules. UEFA announced today that the reigning Premier League champions will be excluded from the Champions League for the next 2 seasons. And they've also been fined 30 million euros, which rounds out to $33 million US, for, quote, overstating its sponsorship revenue for its accounts, or in its accounts, excuse me, and failing to cooperate in the investigation, according to findings by the UEFA adjudicatory chamber.
Basically, their
judicial chamber or whatever. City said that they were disappointed but not surprised in a statement by this ruling and gave notice of their intention to lodge an appeal at the Court of Arbitration for Sport. So, I had to get the whole context for everything of like why this was a big deal, why this punishment was so severe. I'm going to give the floor to you, John. What exactly did they do to mess up their financial stuff, and why is this such a serious punishment for as a consequence?
That's a great question. It's hard to understand. It's hard for me to understand, too. Basically, all they've come across to say is basically that they misled the league in terms of their financial information, mm-hmm. and that's kind of a big deal, especially when it comes to funds available for transfers and loans. And soccer is weird because you can loan players to other clubs to help your financials so that you can get other players from other clubs. And when it comes to sponsors, I think that's where they lied or didn't tell the whole truth in terms of the money they were receiving from sponsorships. But this is a huge hit. Not only are they losing the money that they're having to the fine, but not being able to play in the league for 2 years, that's a huge... I mean, you might as well be relegated out of Premier League. I mean, and we'd said, maybe it was yesterday or the day before on one of the shows I'm on, that Manchester City is one of those teams that will never not be in the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a big deal. This is a huge blow to that organization. Now, granted, UEFA is not like the most upstanding. They're kind of like a less consistent NCAA, if that makes sense.
Man, how can anyone be less consistent than the NCAA?
Exactly. Football, European football is kind of... If you want to get an idea of what it's like, you need to watch on Netflix. They have a docuseries. I just finished it yesterday, and now I can't. Sunderland. It's based on the Sunderland football team from the 2017-2018 season.
Mm-hmm.
If you think SEC football is intense, you need to watch this series. It is brutal. It's brutal. If you're not a big fan of language, don't watch it, but it is brutal.
Oh, I'm a big fan.
So it's a good watch if you just have an interest in how stuff works and how, like, relegation, that doesn't seem like a big deal. But think about it in terms of Tennessee got kicked out of the SEC and sent to the Sun Belt. How much money they would lose?
Whole lot.
That's a big deal. So, in these towns, like Sunderland, for instance, this town is centered around this football club. And everything's centered around it. And so when the team does bad, when they get relegated and lose all that money, the town loses all that money.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's a big deal. It's a big deal for Man City, who just won the championship last year. Man City's one of those. Man City, Man United, and Bear's a big Man City guy. Man City, Man United, Tottenham, Arsenal. Those are teams that are just never supposed to fall.
Chelsea,
that's the other one. It's a big deal. This is huge. It's like kicking someone out of the SEC, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Man, yeah, I've always thought about like those smaller clubs that are just never going to be like up near like where those like traditional clubs are. Now, obviously, you had I cannot pronounce Leicester.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. When they had their run,
they did.
That was something that was completely out of the ordinary. I'm thinking about other clubs that have, like, historically been at that level, and that's a good way to think about it. Like, if they lose money, they get relegated, they're doing bad, that's affecting that town because mm-hmm. it's – I'm just trying to compare it to college athletics. Like, when it comes to, like, the smaller towns that have these clubs, it's like if one athletic program at a college is suffering, then – you know, the revenue suffers for the school. And also, I mean, if you're like a big college town, if it's not doing good, that's going to make the service industry suffer. It's going to be a whole lot, man. It's going to be a whole lot that suffers along with it. So that's what you're saying is, I don't know, one team that comes to my mind is Watford, the one Elton John has always been connected with. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. like, if they get relegated, I mean, it's like, oh, that's a big hit for the town.
For instance, if you win the Premier League, your club makes about $90 million.
Holy crap. Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's how you pay your employees. That's how you pay for the contracts and the loans. It's a big deal, guys. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal. And people don't care here. I mean, they don't understand it. But I seriously, you need to watch the, it's Sunderland Till I Die, I think is what it's called, on Netflix. It's a great way to understand it.
I'll have to keep that on my list for sure. That does sound very intriguing. So, fair or foul, this punishment by UEFA for banning them for 2 years. And do you think they can win the appeal? Because I was talking to...
I think they can.
I was talking to Lucas Panzica, former Fox Sports Knoxville employee, about this because he's a big soccer dude. He's a big, like, I think, was he an AC Milan? Yeah, he's an AC Milan fan. And so he is very in tune with all that stuff. And he said he's pretty sure Man City will win its appeal.
Yeah, I think it will. I think it'll be reinstated. It still may be fined, and that might be part of it, but I think they'll be able to play. If I'm a Man City fan, I wouldn't worry about it.
Hmm. Well, that's a nice little segue while I'm about to talk about here about the punishment UEFA handed out, because I saw some American fans say, wow, baseball should do the same thing with the Astros.
Yeah.
That's happened here. Cody Bellinger. Did you see where he went completely scorched earth on the Astros today?
I didn't get to listen to it. I saw his face during the interview. It was during the drop when I was trying to watch it, so I didn't get to hear what he said. But, yeah, it looked pretty intense.
Dude, he just went completely off on them, very candid. I appreciate the honesty that he was talking to reporters with. He said that the apologies yesterday were pretty much whatever. He called the apology from Astros owner Jim Crane weak. It's a word he also used to describe MLB's punishment, and a word he used to describe Rob Manfred in general for the punishment. So just straight off coming off the top rope on his own boss right here for basically granting players immunity. They were basically immune to any type of punishment, some of the players were. He said, Bellinger said, those guys were cheating for 3 years. I think what people don't realize is Jose Altuve stole an MVP from Aaron Judge in 2017. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us, but it's over. Whew! Now, of course, Bellinger's going to have more reason to come off like this because of the loss to the Astros.
Yep.
And also, coincidentally, well, you got to think about the next year, too, the loss to the Red Sox.
It's I don't know how, if you're the Dodgers or if you're a pitcher that pitched against the Astros during the time frame that they were cheating, how you don't have a legal case, like a pitcher who maybe lost their career, or
like the Blue Jays dude.
Like the Blue Jays guy, or someone who maybe didn't get a certain contract because of the way he pitched against the Astros. How much money have people lost because of their cheating? You know, teams, players. They've got legitimate reason for legal action against the Astros and against Major League Baseball.
I mean, it just keeps going and going. If you want to get to like all the specifics of everything that was affected. Now, all the investigation, after it was concluded, baseball said that the sign-stealing scheme didn't take place this past season. But Bellinger basically said that was bull crap.
Right.
He said, I 100% believe it did. I don't know why they would stop.
Like, how do they know it didn't keep happening? Like, and I said on the Blitz that even this season, if the Astros win, I'm going to wonder if they cheated. It's just how it is. Just like now, if you see a dude who's jacked, you immediately think, is he taking steroids? You know?
Whole lot of reason to be skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
Also here about talking about the buzzer allegations that haven't been confirmed that Altuve and others were wearing under their uniforms. Bellinger said, I don't know what human hits a walk-off home run against Aroldis Chapman to send your team to the World Series and, one, has the thought to say, don't rip my jersey off, but, two, go into the tunnel, change your shirt, and then come out and do your interview. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I read those comments that he made. I mean, he's right. He's not wrong.
Man, I tell you what, think about all like the respect that Jose Altuve has lost because of this. Think about how much people fell in love with him, his MVP season, you know, being a guy's like 5'5 and doing all this amazing stuff. What an incredible athlete. Now he's just...
Because he's cheating.
Yeah, now he's just a damn cheater, along with Bregman, Correa, the rest of them. So, man, I'm just... Good for Bellinger. He may have a reason to be salty because his team lost a World Series, but also, I mean, That's a good reason to be salty. I'm glad he didn't hold back. I'm so glad he didn't hold back. Let's hit another break here. Rolling along an hour or two of overtime, about 30 minutes left in the show. Cruising along on a Friday, it's Overtime on Fan Run Radio. It's lit and I'm about to go boom. Mercy, mercy, mercy me. Oh, my life was a cage, but on stage I'm free. Hyped up, psyched up, ready for wildin'. Standing in a crowd of girls like an island. All-Star Weekend in the NBA officially underway. The Celebrity Game kicking things off here on a Friday evening. I had no idea this was the thing until just a couple hours ago. It's Team Michael Wilbon versus Team Stephen A. Smith. Who will stay off the weed first?
I looked at the rosters, and I was like, I knew two people on each one, maybe.
I'm about to look at them and tell you just who I know when I first see them.
Okay.
So starting with Team Wilbon, the captain is Common. I know Common.
Yep.
I don't know who doesn't know Common. He's pretty much everywhere. Rapper, actor, whatever. Bad Bunny. I know the name Bad Bunny. Was it Bad Bunny, the dude just rapped in Spanish in the Super Bowl with Shakira and J-Lo?
Maybe. Justin would know.
I think it was him. He's like a big reggaeton dude.
Yeah, he's a reggaeton guy.
I know the name, but I'm not familiar. Oh, Hannibal Buress is on Team Wilbon. I love Hannibal.
That's like the other person I know.
Hannibal's hilarious. Have you ever watched the Eric Andre show?
No. Did you watch Tag, the movie Tag? With him and Ed Helms and John Hamm?
I knew he was in it. I didn't
freaking
watch
hilarious. So funny.
I don't know why I never watched that.
So funny.
So I know Hannibal first from the Eric Andre show, Adult Swim show. I'm going to warn you, if you want to watch it, it's a very surreal show. It's a very random show. You have to have a certain sense of humor to like really enjoy it. I just so certain to have that sense of humor. But basically, it's like only a 15-minute show. It's presented like talk show format, I guess. Like Eric will have like different random celebrities he'll talk to sometimes. Basically, Hannibal is like his co-host, like his wingman type of thing.
Okay.
Hannibal's hilarious. So yes, love Hannibal. I unfortunately know about Kane Brown. Bro country dude. Yeah, no thanks. John Batiste, band leader of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Well, I don't watch any of those late night shows. So I don't know about John Batiste. I'm not even going to name these other guys. Who are some of these guys? I know Quentin Richardson. I know the name.
I think he played for the Warriors for forever.
Yeah, these other people. I'm like, who the hell are these people? Some dude named Famous Los, who is a comedian and a social media influencer. Yeah, no.
Meaning he's unemployed.
Yeah,
He does stuff for free and then posts about it on Instagram.
Pretty much. Okay, you got Team Stephen A. Smith, Captain. Oh, of course, Chance the Rapper. It's in Chicago. Mm-hmm. People know about Chance. And again, oh, look, you got Quavo of the Migos. Quavo's been doing this for like 2 or 3 years.
I'm just glad there's not Kevin Hart.
Yeah, Quavo can hoop. So I know Quavo. I don't know who the hell Taylor Bennett is. Some actor from Chicago PD. I don't know. Spice Adams, former NFL defensive tackle? No, not a clue. Ronnie 2K, he does this like every year. It's like the marketing to do over at 2K Sports. Asia Wilson, I know Asia Wilson, played at South Carolina WNBA. And then Darius Miles. See, I heard you on the drive like be familiar with Darius Miles. I'm not familiar with him.
Yeah, he was a... He kind of looks like an older Devontae Gaines when he was in the league. He was early 2000s guy. I can't remember who he played college ball for.
I'm about to tell you. He played college.
Was it Duke?
No, he went. He
Auburn?
Went right to. No, he went right to.
Straight?
NBA.
Okay, that's what I thought. That was my first guess, but I was like, no.
He was the third overall pick in the 2000 draft.
Who did he play for?
He played for the Clippers, the Cavs, the Trailblazers.
The Clippers went through a period there where they just were like, high school, let's get him.
I love how the All-Star game, like, the page on NBA.com described him as an NBA legend. Here's what he did in the NBA. He only made the all-rookie first team. That's it.
Yeah, he didn't do much.
A legend.
Yeah, that was back when everyone thought they could go straight to the league because Kobe did and KG did. Dwight Howard
and then,
did.
And then LeBron did.
Yeah.
And it was over after that.
Yeah. Although, if you look at the 9 o'clock game tonight, the U.S. versus the World Rookie Sophomore game.
Oh, that's tonight?
Yeah, look at the lineup. It's going to be great game. A great game.
That's always one of the better events.
Team USA is stacked. Every rookie, sophomore you think, they're on there.
I love how I went through like the world roster and then I saw RJ Barrett. I had to remember he's from Canada.
Yeah, I forgot about that too. Yeah, but that U.S. team with Trae Young, Zion.
Oh, forget about that.
Come on,
forget about that for sure.
They're going to destroy the world team.
I don't know if I'll watch it tonight because I do need to do like two things like this weekend. First, I need to play the new season of Modern Warfare. Brand new maps and everything. I think we're going to do
important.
That tonight. I need to watch The Irishman.
I finished it last night.
Give me your rating, 1 out of 10.
It was long.
Okay.
But I enjoyed it.
So what would you give it?
The ending was super sad. I would give it an 8. It was good.
Okay. I'm fine with an 8.
If you're one of these people that just has to have action constantly, constant action, got to have action, then you're going to hate it.
Mm.
But I like that decade.
I enjoy some dialogue.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I kind of looked past the whole like anti-aging CG stuff. I thought it was good. And I think it's probably the most accurate way that Hoffa died. I think it's what actually happened, probably.
The whole anti-aging thing's funny because they got like Pacino and De Niro made to look like they're like 30 years younger.
Yeah, but they didn't really look like they were 30 years younger, honestly. They still kind of looked the same.
Like they still look old, but they're not as old as they actually are.
Yeah, right.
Because they're both like really old now.
Right, yeah.
Is Pacino 80 yet? Or is he still in the 70s?
I'll tell you this, though. When they made him and De Niro look old, it was sad to see Pacino, though.
Pacino is 79 years old.
It was sad.
He'll be 80 in April. That's crazy.
It's super sad ending. It took me 2 nights to watch it just because it's like almost 4 hours.
Well, I need to start tackling that this weekend. So, also in the news today, and this is, I finally get a chance to talk about this guy just because I always want to avoid politics on this show. Oh, but today, because this does involve sports. A federal jury in New York today convicted disgraced attorney Michael Avenatti of attempting to extort as much as $25 million from Nike over threats that he would expose misdeeds in the apparel company's grassroots basketball division. Of course, Avenatti rose to fame just 2 years ago. He was Stormy Daniels' attorney in her lawsuit against President Trump. He was convicted today on felony charges of transmission of interstate communications with intent to extort, attempted extortion, and honest services wire fraud. Yeah. Holy crap. So all these convictions, by the way, it carries a combined potential penalty of 42 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
He won't get 42 years, but he's going to be in jail. Prison.
He's not going to go to white collar prison?
No, he might have connections. I don't know. Man, this dude, look, I try not to watch the cable news. I try not to watch all that. I think it's all brain rot. This dude was everywhere. You couldn't avoid him. He was on every damn show. He was just trying to basically just be a complete narcissist when it came to like his stardom and all of that. He even considered running for president. Now look at you, federal prison.
Yeah, what a fall from grace, representing a porn star to now going to prison.
Dude's
who would have saw that coming?
I don't care where you are in the aisle. This dude's a clown. This dude's always been a clown.
Mm-hmm.
Really thought about running for president. That's so funny.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I'm just interested to see what comes because of all of this, you know? I mean, he's exposed a lot. Nike's pretty much said, we paid those AU coaches and players throughout all this whole ordeal. So we'll see what happens. Probably nothing.
The funniest thing is that this clown's going to jail or prison. It's so funny. He was so unavoidable 2 years ago. It got really old really quick. And now you don't have to worry about him making any media appearances anytime soon. But man, you're all right though about the next part to fall in this. What will happen to the whole Nike thing?
Mm-hmm.
Because no surprise, when it comes to hoops, it's dirty. It's very dirty.
As a what's the name of the center that played at Arizona? Now he plays for the Suns. Sophomore.
DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, he's a big part of that. Him getting paid to play at Arizona. So.
And somehow Sean Miller's still the coach of Arizona.
I mean, so is Will Wade.
So is Will Waste.
And what's his name at Kansas?
Well, they're never going to touch Bill Self. I'm just surprised Will Wade, nothing happened to him. Because you would have thought Will Wade would be expendable. Will Wade's not Bill Self.
Well, it's because the NCAA doesn't have subpoena powers.
That's true. That's a good point. NCAA, bunch of pushovers here. Well, yeah, Michael Avenatti off to prison. Hashtag Bosta. We're going to come back to wrap up the show on the other side here. 865-546-8200. If you'd like to take a shot on this Valentine's Day edition of the show, you, dear listener, are in our hearts. We're going to wrap up everything for the week when we come back. We're coming back for this final segment of Overtime with the King himself. Oh, gotta love some Burning Love. Oh, so good. I'm just the manager on stage with the big white suit. Oh, it's fantastic. Elvis had so many good love songs, man.
And Elvis is just amazing. He was a crappy human being, but he was amazing.
Careful what you say. My mom might be listening. You don't want to.
I mean, he was. Let's be honest. Favorite Elvis movie. Favorite Elvis movie.
Do I have a favorite Elvis movie? I never really watched his movies.
Viva Las Vegas.
Sure, I'll go with that.
Viva Las Vegas.
Careful what you say on air about Elvis, please, because
I love Elvis. Love Elvis.
Look, man,
but
you don't love her. Love him like mom does.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean,
there's a shrine to Elvis in my house. Be careful.
Be
very careful. That's all I'm going to say.
Great. Good.
Okay.
Have you seen his grandson?
No.
He looks, it's scary.
Like a
Google it. You're going to want to Google it. I mean, it is scary. Yeah.
Okay. Let me go ahead and do it while I'm thinking about it. Elvis Presley.
Yeah, dude. It is.
Benjamin?
Maybe.
That was the first name that popped up.
Let's see.
Okay, here we go. I'm about to look. Let's see. Holy crap.
Yeah, told you.
What on earth? That's insane.
Is it the one where he's beside the picture of him in Elvis in a red shirt?
I'm looking at this black and white thing, but they have like the same forehead and brow and jawline.
It's scary.
Oh my God.
Yep.
I think I need to show my mom that. I don't know if she's seen there or not. Yeah. That's crazy to think about. Also, imagine just being that guy. You're just born into this earth and it's like, hey man, you are the grandson of Elvis Presley. Congrats.
It's wild though. You think about that, like, I don't know. It's just weird. Have you been to Graceland?
Technically yes, technically no. Okay, I have been. I was a baby, so I don't remember anything. But I technically have been.
Crappy area of Memphis, but and the house isn't as big as you think. But it like you just if you're just in there, like you just stop and think like, this was his house. Like you, it's just cool. It's just so cool.
I got bottle fed in his kitchen.
Oh, well, there you go.
So there you go. The same place he was at. What was the sandwich he liked? The
peanut butter and bananas.
Yeah, same kitchen, man. I got bottle fed. Before we go to the phones, I want to run through his college basketball slate for tomorrow. By the way, John Tyler, you will be on Voluntary Reaction tomorrow, post-Tennessee, South Carolina, so a little after 8 o'clock. You and Russell doing that tomorrow.
Yep, as soon as the game is over, and depending on how bad the game is, it may be a few minutes, you know, just if it's a blowout one way or the other, and we may start a little early. But yeah, Russ likes to do app only, but we'll probably do radio. So if you're driving, tune in 105.7 FM or 1340 AM or just on the FanRun app.
Awesome. Looking forward to that. It's Voluntary Reaction presented by Miller Lite. Let's run through some of these games tomorrow. Oh, this could be a good one. You got top 15 battle in the Big 12, 4 o'clock tomorrow. Number 14, West Virginia at number 1, Baylor. Could you see an upset happening in that one?
They played Kansas. West Virginia played Kansas the other night, didn't they?
And they blew it, so.
Baylor's really good. Baylor's really – they've been the most consistent team this season. Kansas is becoming that. I love watching West Virginia play. Is it at Baylor?
It's in Waco, yeah.
See, I think Baylor wins that then probably.
I think I'd have to go with him. Another potential upset in the ACC, you got number 5 Louisville traveling to Clemson, who's 12-12, but crazy things happen in college hoops.
Yeah, this could be an upset. Louisville's super inconsistent this year. But they're a team that I would not want to play in the tournament.
No. I could see an upset.
Since it's at Clemson, I could see an upset.
Quickly, here are these last few. LSU at Alabama. I don't think Alabama's going to take almost 63-pointers again, but maybe. They might be really raring to go for an upset in this one.
I like watching college basketball this year because you just don't know what will happen. Mm-hmm. And I like that. I appreciate that.
Okay, you got number 9, Maryland at Michigan State. I think Maryland goes down. East Lansing is just a really hard place to win, too. Another potential upset. Ooh, this one might be sneaky good if you want to watch a really late college basketball game, too. You got number 16, Colorado at Oregon State. That one could be interesting. Other than that, Seton Hall at Providence has an upset potential. Other than these potential upsets, there's no real big blockbuster matchups, but I am looking forward to keeping up with hoops tomorrow outside of Tennessee. Now let's go to the phone line. We got Roger on the line, John Tyler. Let's go to Roger in the week with a call from Roger. Roger, welcome into overtime, buddy. What you got?
Not a whole lot. How y'all doing tonight?
Hey, buddy, we are feeling great right here. It's about weekend time. We're looking forward to it, buddy. So what you got for us?
Well, first of all, I want to ask you such a question tonight about the game tomorrow. First, I should ask you how you feel about the Tar Heels have been playing better, and Tennessee has said, I want to ask you how y'all feel about the game for the how y'all feel about Tennessee winning tomorrow.
Yeah, Raj, I feel confident, but I also, you just never know with this Tennessee team. Is it going to be the Tennessee team that showed up against Arkansas and Alabama, or is it going to be the team that showed up against Wisconsin and Memphis? You know, you just don't know.
Yeah.
I want to hope that it's going to be the team that showed up against Arkansas, and we'll see. But it's going to be probably not a fun game to watch, just knowing how South Carolina is. Tanner, what do you think?
I got you.
I don't know what strong feeling to feel either way about this one, just because, A, it's on the road, and they played you really close last time, so you have to be worried about that. But at the same time, I feel like if it's just the right night for this team, and they have especially if they have some bench contributions tomorrow, Roger, I think that we can go out of Columbia with a win, which South Carolina's not ranked or anything like that, but they are better than you record-wise, and road wins are road wins no matter what in this conference, so you can't take that lightly. John, I guess we'll do a score prediction before we go here. Roger, I'm going to go ahead and say that – I hate to say it, I do think Tennessee loses. I think it'll be by less than 5 points, though.
I said on the Blitz this morning it was going to be Tennessee 65, South Carolina 58.
Okay.
That seems like the kind of 60-50 scoring that we're used to.
Hey, Roger, appreciate the phone call, brother. Hope you have a good weekend. That'll do it for us this week on Overtime. John Tyler, appreciate you and all your help this week, and especially today doing the whole slaughterhouse for the station.
Yeah, it's been a great day, and thanks so much for letting me hang out with you, and
absolutely,
I'm sure I'll hang out with you next week too. Some.
Hey, be sure to catch John Tyler and Russell Smith for Voluntary Reaction tomorrow night post-game. I'll catch you again on Monday at 6 o'clock. Everyone, have a fantastic weekend. Overtime will come back next week. Y'all be good. And I won't forget